There's no wave in this election. Hillary Clinton got more votes than Donald Trump. This is Jim DeBacchus on the left.
Republicans run the board. The president, the Congress, doesn't matter. We win. Now it's time to govern. This is Dan McKay on the right.
I do my best to speak on behalf of women and a Trump victory. This is Natalie Gochner in the Political Center, and you're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. But first, this news. Good morning. I'm Natalie Gochner. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. I represent the Political Center, and I am joined on the political left by State Senator Jim DeBacchus.
Dum, dum, da, dum,
and on dum, the political da, right by Representative Dan McKay.
It's a bright, sunshiny morning.
There's
outside,
got to be a
it?
Morning after.
It
I,
is
I
just
think of that song.
Beautiful outside.
We have been talking for months about the 2016 presidential elections and local elections, and here we are now. We have the results. And boy, was it a shocker. I'm used to being surprised by campaigns, but this one really, I mean, they're using the term a black swan event. And that comes from the metaphor of they used to only believe there were white swans. Hmm. And then they started to witness black swans, and it started to prove that really unusual things can happen.
Yeah.
I don't know where you guys want to start. Let's just start at the beginning. Jim, what was your night like? Break that down for us a little bit.
You know, in my opinion, one time, I hope it's on tape somewhere, months and months ago, as I was off wandering and you guys were snoring and saying, come on, back here. I said, you know, elections don't come in isolation nationally. They come as parts of giant tidal waves internationally. And one of the things we missed because of our egotism as a country is what's happened all around the world with Le Pen in France, in the Netherlands. We saw it in Switzerland with the People's Party there.
And Brexit.
The Swedish. And Hungary, they very strong neo-fascists almost have had a great emphasis or effect on the ruling party there. And it isn't just in Europe. In Latin America, those kind of populist socialists have been replaced by authoritarians. You go to the Philippines where
the question was, how was your night? And we're on dictators and bread. I just want to make sure.
He's got a tidal wave here.
He's going there.
It's important here to recognize that we should have recognized all this, that America is just another brick here. Mm-hmm. In what's happening all around the world in a move toward one person promises of, don't you worry your little heads, I'm going to solve all this, just give me the power. That's, I think, the backdrop of what happened Tuesday night in America.
Yeah. Dan, I'm so interested to hear your comments, and what a big night for Republicans.
There was a lot.
Locally, nationally.
Yeah. A lot of cheering.
So,
right.
So, you know, we know that this is a public radio audience, but tell us, give us some color commentary.
There was a lot of cheering. I mean, the Republican Party, I think, was the exact opposite of the state Democratic Party, which was a funeral by most mm-hmm. accounts, and mm-hmm. a lot of fear and loathing and lamentation, so to speak. And the Republican Party was loud. My voice is still a little scratchy because, you know, us hollering with the best of them. It was really, Republicans don't have it better. The last time.
And it was a surprise to get it
that
good.
And it was a total surprise because everybody said we were, this was Hillary's race. Everything, it was over, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody had said this race was done.
The Deseret News said the candidate should resign from, I mean, that's how bad it was.
Yeah, we don't even need to hold the election.
Yeah.
And so the fact that you walk into it with that attitude, I mean, we all just were kind of getting together because we figured we'd commiserate and comfort each other and yada, yada, yada. And it turned into celebration after celebration when you got North Carolina, you got Michigan, you had all these states that were rolling in when they decided Florida early for Trump. I mean, the place was blowing up, and it was literally one wave of emotion after another. And then I watched the final countdown of the seconds as Utah's polls closed, and within seconds, they were already calling me a Love's race and Congressman Chaffetz, and Mike Lee was already there,
and
it went on and on and on. It all night long. Big celebrations, and then when it all, you know, I end up going home, and then I'm sitting on the couch and literally staring in disbelief as they call the Senate and the House for the Republican control. And then,
and I guess we should congratulate you on the program.
Why?
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah. You won.
Yeah. Oh, Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we have.
I did win this year. It was close.
Jim, what is the silver lining for Democrats?
You know what?
Is there a silver lining here?
Let's just clarify what you two Republicans have been saying. This was not a wave election. This was not Ronald Reagan winning 48 states. Hillary Clinton won the vote. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton won the vote. The Republicans won an arcane Sith thing we call the Electoral College. And I'm not disputing his winning the presidency, but this is in some landslide. He lost the popular vote. It's not a wave.
Yeah.
And if he wants to continue to govern with the way that he campaigned, he is going to have a heck of a rough time because he has a minority of the voters. Let's see if he can expand out. Let's see if he can bring the country together. Or let's see if he just plays political games and appoints a bunch of weird cronies.
You want to
call
it?
In which case, it's going to be a long 4 years.
You want to call it arcane, the Electoral College, right? And I'd say some would say a bicameral Congress is also arcane, right? Because why should you need two legislative bodies to get anything done? Can't just a straight-up vote. Mm-hmm. But the Electoral College's primary purpose was protect the rurals from the overarching influences
of the urban areas. To protect
the
rich white guys, landowners, against the real people.
As a rich white guy, I can understand why you feel that way. All I'm saying is, Jim, that's its intention.
Yeah.
And if you listen to the Voice of America, what we learned last night is the rurals are sick of getting kicked in the teeth.
Yeah.
And that's what you heard over and over.
Another thing. I mean, I don't think that the right way to talk about this is from the Electoral College because those are the rules. And
that's,
you know,
too
Clinton
nuanced.
Knew that. Trump knew that. But I think that I want to make this point. The term rot comes to mind. I say that in a sense that what just happened is that the American public through our process, and even if not the pod vote, but look at what happened, Jim. I mean, we basically said, Washington, to hell with you, right? I mean, we're putting in Donald Trump. No
drain
experience. Yeah, it's drain the swamp. And when I say
50% of America said that. You know, just because the expectations were changed, it was a big shock. Less than half of the American voters said, bring him to power. This is not a giant wave. Mm. This is somebody sneaking in. This was not a giant message sent. It was as equally strong for Hillary Clinton. And I'm saying it's going to be a long, 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 long 4 years for the United States of America if Donald Trump and the Republicans think this is some kind of a wave.
Yeah. Well, so I think there's a lot of rot out there, and the rot spoke. And all I mean by rot is that Washington that doesn't work and people that this economy wasn't working for. And so this country had given out a lot of rot and it needed to be addressed. And now we have winners and losers. And, you know, Donald Trump becomes a winner. It's interesting to think Senator Hatch. I think he becomes a loser out of this because he's part of the Washington establishment. And I think it will, even though they won and he's there and everything, but I think a statement was made against people that are in Washington.
But who knows where we're going to be in 2 years? I mean, the political pendulum strikes, and it may be good for Hatch because it may be after we have Attorney General Giuliani and Gingrich as Secretary of State and Ben Carson as who knows what, we may well be in the
Greg
mood to
Hughes
say, give us back, give us back the experienced people.
Well, remember what brought on. So Barack Obama came in under the same circumstances. The Dems won the House and the Senate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you had Barack Obama as the president. And they had 2 years, two good years where they controlled it, and then the Republicans controlled it after that from the House perspective, right? But that 2 year period, because the party didn't reach across the aisles and get things done in a bipartisan way, we learned, at least I hope we did, that's what brought on the Tea Party and that's what uprooted Washington. And if Trump and those guys don't figure it out, we are doomed to repeat it.
Yeah, you want Trump and the Republicans to avoid a lonely victory.
Yeah, it's been great to sit on the sidelines and point at the players in the game and say, hey, you guys aren't doing it right, but guess who's the players now?
Yeah,
it's our
way.
Job, and we better get something
They're
done.
They're going to have to govern.
You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. Natalie Gochner, and I'm joined by Jim DeBacchus and Dan McCain. Our next segment, we'll talk some more about the election returns.
Jim DeBacchus on the left.
And Dan McKay on the right.
Natalie Gochner in the political center, and this is both sides of the aisle. Guys, I want to start out this segment by just being a little bit honest. A lot honest.
A lot honest.
I'm in a somber mood, and my mood comes from the way this election has affected a lot of people I care about, and primarily women. And the campaign was brutal and mean and discouraging for women in this country. And then for people who supported Senator Clinton, there was this feeling that the glass ceiling was going to be broken and the world would never be the same for our young daughters and the like, and then it didn't happen. And in the process, I think what's most frustrating to women is not so much that Donald Trump is the guy, but that all those fellow countrymen said you should be the guy.
And
in
country,
other words,
and countrywomen.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Let's be honest.
Well, yeah, and I was meaning it in the mankind sense, but but the idea that many people didn't understand that our sensibilities had been completely violated.
Yeah.
So I have a young daughter. I'm very open about this, but she just felt this excitement about what was going to happen in America, not politically, but what it meant to a woman. And then it didn't happen, and then you have someone who's been so deeply offensive. And how do you justify? How do you talk about that? How do we look up to that? And there's been, there's women who have been crying today. There are women that lost hope after last night. And that might sound too dramatic, but it's how I experienced it.
Do you think it's exacerbated by the idea that the first female candidate for president wasn't elected? Do you think that makes it different as well, Natalie?
Yeah, a little bit, but I credit most of it to the offensive behavior of Donald Trump.
So is the other side.
Yeah, the fact that things were said and the treatment that was described. And you have to understand what women live with every day, right? So I work at the University of Utah. Woman gets raped on campus. We all get an alert on our phone. We look at the phone and we're like, oh, goodness, this is awful. And we start processing it and thinking about it. And now when we walk to our cars, we're afraid. And we live in fear. And I don't think anybody can understand that except for people who have felt it.
Yeah.
And that, and of course, we feel that in all parts of life. Right. As a woman professional, you feel it and different things. And so for someone as that has done as despicable things as Donald Trump, it was hurtful.
Was it also the fact that it violated the sense of we thought we were past all this? I'm just trying to think, through.
Yeah.
Because my wife was offended the same way.
Yeah.
And she talked to me about this.
Yeah, and if your daughters were older, you'd hear more about it from them.
Yeah, and they were offended by those comments and those kinds of things. And my wife ended up, voting, actually not voting for Trump. I'm not going to out her too far. She wants that to be private, I guess. But, she didn't end up voting for Trump. But it was interesting because she told me just the other day, she said, if those comments about Trump and the Billy Bush tape had come out this week instead of 3 weeks ago, I think this election sways immediately. And so it's one of those things where – because even on the last night, she says, maybe I should have voted for Trump. And that may be – another part of some of the pain, I think, of being a woman on the wrong side.
Well, and I just meant, so, that's a woman's perspective.
I won't say, sorry, let me correct that. I said a woman on the wrong side of this. What I meant is that, you're looking at an election and the result came out the wrong way based on how you think women should be treated.
Yeah.
I think that's the right way to say it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's fair. But then I magnify that to people with disabilities, Mexicans, Muslims, and it just gets so big and powerful that it's like, there, something went awry for many Americans this week. Jim?
And I'm sensitive to your sensibility, but imagine the dreamer that I talked to today. A Utah came up to me at Gateway as I was having lunch. She was almost got emotional. She came here from Guatemala when she was 4 years old. Her parents took her here illegally. She knows nowhere else. She went to West High. Mm-hmm. That's her life.
Yeah.
Her name is on that list, as are 6,000 or 7,000 other Utah dreamers. You talk about issues in the middle of the night. Imagine what this is like for literally millions of people in the United States of
America. 24 hours a day, all the time.
And their families and the rest.
Yeah.
I mean, this is very, very, very hurtful for Muslims here in Utah. It is. It is a
and
very,
yet,
very
Trump
difficult
did
moment.
Better. Trump got more of the Mexican vote.
Yeah.
You know, than the previous Republican nominees.
Yeah. Stunning.
So, you know, we want to talk. We want to extend this, but I'm more empathetic probably to Natalie because Trump won support from a lot of these other groups, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right to be in pain. I think a little bit.
Yeah. But so Jim won't like this, but the silver lining to me is I am thrilled to think of a Republican Senate and House and a supportive administration getting some tax reform done. And I think the Affordable Care Act needs some refinements, and I think they can do some things. And maybe they've learned some stuff. Maybe they'll avoid a lonely
victory,
Jim.
They're already talking
Jim.
Repeal on the Affordable
They're not
Care.
Talking refinement. I mean, the issue that came out today,
I understand.
It was repeal and reform. And you know what's going to happen? The first week in office, there's going to be a repeal, and we're going to have millions and millions of Americans that Republicans say, just go out and get it in the market.
The Affordable Care Act is so entrenched into the medical industrial complex, if I can use a big word,
it is.
That they can't just wipe it out.
Yep.
And voters' interest.
Pre-existing conditions.
Yes, pre-existing conditions.
Coverage past the age of 25.
Yeah, guaranteed issue. These are things that Americans, I think, have decided we want.
Yeah.
It's just.
We'll see.
Dealing with how we pay for this and make it so that it doesn't.
While we're on this somber note, do you mind if I just add to? I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what's hard for me about this election, right? And now it's over, so you know we're kind of sifting out a bunch of things. I am saddened the fact that 50% of America thinks the other 50%. Are out to get them.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem to matter what side you are, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you're the Democrat or the Republican, 50% of this country really does believe that the other 50% is out to get them. And that if they were in power, the proverbial they, the other they, it would make their quality of life worse.
So Senator Clinton gave an incredible concession speech.
Oh, yeah.
It was... You know,
very classy.
If she could have talked like that during the campaign, it could have done some great things. But she talked about having an open mind.
Yeah.
And I thought that, Donald Trump is saying some of the right things. So there's hope.
There are some winners. I mean, China wins. They will. We're not getting TPP in America. So the economic prowess of the United States of America will decline in the world. Putin was a big winner.
We just talked about Clinton being a fantastic reach across the aisle. Let's be open-minded. And now you're off with your laundry list.
I'm talking about
your four-year from now presidential speech.
I'm talking about winners in this election. You know, what it really comes down to is what kind of people will Donald Trump surround himself with?
Yeah, and we're all watching.
And
there's a chance.
There's a chance. But so far... The list, and you know these lists come and go, so who knows where it is. Giuliani, Attorney General. Gingrich, Secretary of State. Ben Carson, a high position.
HHS.
Chris Christie, Chief of Staff.
Health and Human Services.
Health and Human Services.
Get a doctor in there, yeah.
And really, perhaps one of the worst appointments that could ever happen, Don Pay of Utah.
I knew
who
it was
essentially
coming. Public Lands is here, Dan.
Don Pay, who essentially bought the Utah Division of Wildlife, and is really a bully at Interior.
One of Carl Malone's best friends because he takes him on hunting trips.
Takes millions of dollars from the taxpayer and is off lobbying somewhere and then does a lot. I mean, let's keep an eye on this. But because, look, there is a chance. As you said, maybe something good will happen, but it'll entirely depend, more perhaps than anybody who's ever been in the Oval Office, what kind of people he picks. He has no idea what happens in Washington. No. So let's see. If he picks a group of losers and political patrons, or if he picks really good people, that will go a lot toward deciding what happens.
Yeah. Hey, if we just take the microscope and come a little closer to the local elections, another huge outcome for Republicans, Mia Love wins, Mike Lee, Rob Bishop, Jason Chaffetz, Chris Stewart, Governor Herbert, Utah State Senate stays exactly the same.
Exactly the
15
same.
15 incumbents, yep. All reelected. Jim, where you have some good news for the Democrats is in Salt Lake County with Ben McAdams and the county council.
Yeah, apparently, and you know, there's still votes to be, but apparently the Salt Lake County council.
Some votes. Let's be honest. There are 50,000 votes. Left to count.
There's a lot of votes left.
There's a grundle of votes left.
I stand
they're saying, I mean, look, I'm just going to say 50,000 is an egregious number when every other, I'm just going to throw this out because it's going to be my gripe in a second. I'm just going to tip it off. But when every other state in the union is at 98, 99, 100% votes counted, Utah's at 78. Why? Because Salt Lake County cannot figure out how to get its act together. Okay.
Dan, let me not agree with you on that point because I don't really care how long it takes. But I'm going to tell you the biggest debacle I have ever seen was last night in the way that Salt Lake County handled the election process.
Disaster.
This is unforgivable.
I agree.
You cannot have 3-hour lines, especially after we went through that with Mitt Romney.
How many walked away?
Hundreds at Trolley Square
and
as
this,
I was there.
This is our public square. This is our government. This is where we come together.
In West Valley City, in the city hall, it was anarchy. People had to walk across those things.
Vote by mail, while it does improve statistics, it proved to be a loser last night.
No, it didn't. I think it's bad to place the blame on vote by mail. We need to place it where it belongs, on the voting officials and elections in Salt Lake County that decided we're going to try a whole new experiment. And I think I know how it happened. You know, those 20-somethings with those laptops all plug in numbers and then they go, okay, this is what it's going to be. 58,000 people, blah, 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 blah. So we're going to go from 300 polling places down to 40 or 50. It was a catastrophe. Some heads should roll.
Jim,
nobody should wait more than 15 minutes anywhere in Utah to vote.
Remember,
period.
Hold on. The county wanted to do vote by mail. We gave them the freedom legislatively so they could go and try a vote by mail experiment. We gave them money then to advertise and to teach people what vote by mail meant. All those lines were a result of people not mailing in their ballots because they didn't want to.
Don't blame the
I
people.
I knocked on probably a few hundred doors myself.
Well, and Dan,
and
can,
they just didn't want to do it.
Can you blame them with how this election was going? I mean, there was a temptation to hold on to that ballot till the
right,
very
yeah,
end.
Till, you till know, the last firework.
I'm not blaming the voters. I am blaming the election officials.
No, I'm not saying it's bad.
You know,
I'm with you.
I'm not saying it's bad. I've had it.
Jim, we need to go to gripes, and that was a big one, but I want before we do that, I want to hear your thinking about all these marijuana laws that passed.
I'm going to introduce a marijuana bill for medical marijuana.
What happened
this time
in the election for listeners that haven't paid as close attention?
Utah, get over it. Marijuana is there to stay, whether you like it or not.
California, Colorado, Nevada, you know, everybody's got it. And Arizona would have had it, except for, I think, really the LDS letter right before the election, I think, changed the course of that. But
the West has marijuana.
Everybody around us, we are stuck in a contact high, and
we need medical marijuana.
You need what?
We need. Oh. There's a lot of Utahns that.
So
need
what?
It
was on the ballot in 7 states and passed in 7 states.
Yeah.
Yeah. So interesting. Well, let's
6 because Arizona's didn't
there,
pass.
Okay.
6 out of 7.
Let's go to gripes, Dan. Do you want to start us off?
Doggone it. I knew you were going to call on me, and I already kind of went off a little bit about
Salt Lake County elections.
Salt Lake County elections, if I look back at all these other things, it's a disaster. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to gripe, you got one job. It's count the votes and get them counted quickly and release them with the rest of the country, and we still don't have them.
Did you have any gripes about the media coverage on election night?
No, I didn't have
Felt
a chance
okay.
to watch any
oh,
of it.
Okay.
I will say this. I'd flip every once in a while over to CNN or over to MSNBC, and I would watch the fear and the sadness and a couple of the hosts almost crying and stuff. And I got to be
shocking.
Honest, that was a little overbaked. That's just my thing.
Jim, your gripe.
That's my gripe. Dan is wallowing in other people's misery.
A little bit. I'm sorry.
You know, I already gave my gripe about
You've been wallowing
voting,
in
so
mine for years.
I'll yield my gripe to you, Natalie.
Well, I mean, what do you guys think I'm going to gripe about?
Me?
No. Oh. I'm going to gripe about, I've used this line that anybody that uses bimbo in a tweet loses my vote. Mm. And so I'm gonna gripe about the...
Hey, Jim, I'm going to delete this tweet.
I'm going to gripe about Donald Trump's treatment of women, and I'm going to say that he's got a long way to go, and I'm hoping that there's a recovery in some way. I don't know what that would look like, but I hope it comes. And I hope his staff takes away his phone. As president, he's just not capable of...
No POTUS tweeting, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it violates his standards of communication, but I think they have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it might be that the Secret Service or somebody takes away, or the whoever's in charge of national security. You can't just have a phone if you're the president
and use it
the other way.
So that's my hope. You've been listening to Both Sides of the Aisle, special election coverage. I've been joined by Dan McKay on the right, Jim DeBacchus on the left. Program is produced by Russ Chambliss. Thanks for listening.